This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Words that sound similar.
Yeah.
I gotta, wait, how did it start?
How many rhymes are in one rap?
Back to back, rat a tat, I go tat, 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 tat,
tat, tat, tat, tat, tat, tat, tat, tat,
tat, tat, tat, tat, tat, tat, tat, tat, tat, tat, tat, tat, tat, and it ate tight.
Acing it was failing it, embracing it is nailing.
Lacing shit with failing wit, lacing wit and nailing shit.
Acing it was failing it, embracing it is nailing.
And that's our time.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Which one?
His name was David Daigle Carnignan. He's from French Canada, but his artist name is Morneal.
His artist name is also hard to say.
Yeah, Morneal. And he's on Patreon, Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud. You know where it is. Morneal. Morneal. Elliot Morgan.
Hey.
Did I pronounce that correctly?
Elliot Morneal.
Elliot Morneal,
yeah. You're also French Canadian.
Yeah, I am. I make tight beats as well.
Was this you?
It was. I'm a huge fan of you.
Holy
guys.
Shit.
Like, really big fan, yeah.
Thank you so much.
I've actually been camping in your backyard for about 3
That
weeks.
Was you.
Yeah, we saw
sorry.
You.
Yeah.
And you were bathing in the fountain.
I was. Yeah, well, where else, you know?
You were taking a bum shower in my sink.
Yeah, I didn't want to creep you guys out, you know, I tried to stay.
Just
in the public areas, the common areas.
Yeah. Smart. Stay out of my bedroom, but you can take all the showers you want in my sink.
I'm not a monster.
With a dry cube of soap brushing up against your armpit hair.
Oh, wow.
Sorry about that.
No,
painted
great.
A bad picture, buddy.
How would our fans know you? Or even if they don't, why don't you explain who
how
the
would a human
fuck
being
you
know
are?
You?
Oh, God.
Do you ever get recognized?
Mm-hmm. I do.
And they come up to you on the street and they say, oh, you're that guy.
I've gotten recognized mostly from SourceFed, which is a YouTube news comedy channel.
Whoa, YouTube news comedy channel.
Yeah, that started back in 2012. I did that.
Life was so much better then.
Was it not? Was
2012.
It not? 2012. Yeah.
This was pre all that shit.
Yeah, pre all that shit, yeah. Which is...
Forget everything you know about 2014.
Yeah.
That's actually what BC and AD stand for, I think. Pre all that shit and post all that shit.
Both pre 2013 and post.
So I SourceFed, and then now I do stand-up, and I host for a show called... the other thing I often get credit for... is a show called Misconceptions on a channel called Mental Floss, where I tell people how they're wrong about everything. And I host for Lip Sync Battle. I've done some stuff with Mashable.
Jeez, you're just all over the internet.
Yeah, I'm like a host.
Yeah.
Like a
got
host
it.
With then, the most for the internet.
A hostess with the mostess. Yeah.
For the internet.
Yeah, for the many internetists. Yeah.
Jake and I also made a living online. So it's like, I feel like we've been orbiting the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
Never actually hitting each other.
Nope, never. Like,
yeah.
Like atoms sort of
reappearing
and appearing. Yeah.
A nucleus and an electron. Mm-hmm. Never actually, we're just constantly rotating around.
This is actually the Higgs boson that they're going for.
Oh, no, you guys are both smart.
I don't even know if I pronounced that right.
It's the Biggs.
Oh, you knew what
Higgs
it was, dude. That says so much more than I could ever. Are you smart?
I don't think so. No, I think I.
That's usually what smart people say, though.
You know what? I think I've learned this. My therapist told me. I think I'm intuitive.
Oh, you're street smart,
not
book smart.
Maybe street smart, like the street smart way to say intuitive.
I think that's what I am. I'm intuitive and street smart, and I'm actually really tough.
And I'm very handsome.
That's another good thing about me.
That's what my therapist tells me.
No, I don't think I'm. I'm not as well read as I should be. Are
no,
you? Do you read?
I don't,
see all these books. You guys got a bunch of books.
Yeah, we have a lot of books in our studio, but I personally don't read as much as I should.
Gotcha.
You know what happens is that I get to a book, and if it's bad, it slows me down, and then I never stop reading it, and I never pick up another book.
Oh, yeah, that is the problem.
It'll definitely...
Because you're a book finisher.
Yeah,
you
and now I have like...
You won't start a new book.
I've had a half-finished read biography of the Wright brothers on my nightstand for like 5 months.
Yeah.
And I can't find the energy to lift it up and hear and read more about how they fucking went back and forth from Kitty Hawk trying test flights. Didn't work. They go back to Ohio. then the next summer they go back to Kitty Hawk.
It's interesting because like the beginning of Flight is maybe one of the most interesting things in the world.
And I'm about halfway done with the book and it's just, I'm so bored.
I don't care about planes flying for the first time.
I just know what'll happen. They'll eventually figure it out.
The birth of Flight. Yeah.
That's how come I can't read biographies like at all, or autobiographies. Autobiographies especially. I read a thing literally about autobiographies and why like, they so rarely work.
Why is it?
Because it's
inherently biased.
The subject, doesn't know itself well enough to talk on it objectively.
Whenever I read a biography, it's like the person has to be so fucking interesting, right? Because like usually somebody's done like a couple interesting things, but with every biography I've ever read, it's like they just try to make they stretch everything, every single aspect of like the the most boring, like high school. Mm-hmm. We don't need 100 pages on it, you know.
No, not even in real high school.
Yeah,
like we didn't need that.
You know, the real problem is we just saw Hamilton, and now like, what am I supposed to do? Read a book or an article?
Everything
about...
should be made into a rap.
If everything can be made into like a rap hip hopera, I'd be down to watch and
I bet
enjoy.
Lin would actually do a lot with the Wright brothers.
Yeah, with the Wright brothers, or maybe
because Wright rhymes with flight, and I mean like the rest writes itself.
Whoa, that was
the rest
really
writes
good.
Itself. Oh my god,
it's happening! You're on Broadway.
Are you serious?
I really think so.
Jesus Christ! I guess I am. It's kind of crazy.
Well, you can add that to your list of good qualities.
We have a.
I'm intuitive.
I can do a lot of push-ups, and I'm I can rap and be on Broadway.
Instead of a biography, Jake and I will just have a collection of podcasts where we're just venting about what we think about things.
That's way better.
Yeah.
The 21st century version of a biography.
And I don't know if you've ever listened to the show, but this program is actually called If I Were You, and it's an advice podcast. It's basically the only advice podcast on the internet that Jake and I host.
Oh, okay. And I was going to say.
Yeah. And usually it's just...
I heard of another one before.
Usually it's just us two giving advice, and sometimes we have guests, friends...
Cool.
Family.
I'm all of those.
Yeah. And
today we have my brother.
Get out of the chair, Elliot.
Micah.
You're that guy from SourceFed and Jake's brother, right?
So if you can, mm-hmm. do you mind trying to answer some advice questions with us for the next, let's say,
dude, I would love to.
39 minutes?
Yeah, let's do it.
As always, Elliot, these are real emails from real people.
We give them fake names.
That's
to
right.
reserve their anonymity.
Good so, for you guys. That's very sweet.
Can you give me the name of a lady?
Jessica.
Jessica.
It's beautiful. Did you make that up?
I just kind of threw some syllables together.
I never heard that before. Yeah.
If it sounds like a name, it's just that's how my brain works. Yeah. I don't want to get into
it's
it.
It's not spelled in the way that you think.
Oh.
D-R-Y-S-I-K-A-H.
What?
Yeah. Jessica writes.
So hot. There was a Jessica in my high school.
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park.
I've been in a relationship with a girl for about 4 months now, and when we first got together, she mentioned that she preferred polyamorous relationships. We agreed to talk about it properly if one of us developed feelings for somebody else, but I was hoping that would never happen. But she told me yesterday that she has a big crush on a boy she works with and isn't sure how to address it. It makes me really sad and anxious thinking about her dating someone else, but it makes me feel worse to imagine not being with her. Should I act cool and give polyamory a try, or try to compromise with her, or just cut and run? Please help, love, Jessica.
All right. Complex. It's,
okay, yeah. I'm excited about this one. This is a fun one.
Diving right in.
This girl's so cool, she's gay. Which is the coolest you can be.
So that's the right off the bat.
And her girlfriend is even cooler because she's bi.
So,
which is even so much cooler than
gay. Have you ever met somebody who's just straight?
Ugh, it's disgusting.
It's like get over yourself.
What's the point?
Oh my God.
I feel like they're just doing
it's
to fit
2012
in.
They're doing
be
it for
straight.
Attention.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's why I'm gay now.
I love that movie, though.
What's your relationship history, by the way? Just so I can understand your advice through a lens.
Historically monogamous. I got married when I was 20.
What?
That's so early.
You got married at age 20?
Age 20.
In college?
We're like,
middle
we just,
of college.
As soon as we found that information out, we were mad at you.
Yeah.
You did what?
What the fuck?
Get out. We got married in July of 2007.
I don't care what month.
It was a beautiful wedding.
The theme was sports.
We were high school sweethearts. And,
wow.
We got, had, you know, a relationship, and then we got engaged, and then we got married.
Was this all before you lived in LA? This is like...
Yes, this was in Florida. We also have... This is a fun fact that people usually find fun.
Yeah.
I'm over it because it's been my entire relationship.
Oh, I can't wait.
But we have the same birthday.
Same exact day and year?
Yeah.
Oh, that is cool.
And we have the same mom and dad.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
You guys are twins.
It's very progressive.
This is the... We should have had this reaction when he said we were married and the other reaction when
he said
you
really
we were
blew
twins.
Your reaction level.
Yeah. We were sweet about this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's so nice.
Were you guys born in the same city?
The same hospital, same mom. No, yeah. We were born different cities, I believe.
Different cities, same date.
Same date, yeah.
Different cities, same mom.
She grew up in like Key West. I grew up in Central Florida. We wound up meeting in a high school when we were 14.
So this is your first lady?
Basically, yeah.
First everything.
Yeah. And so I am completely... able to talk as an authority
about polyamory
on the subject of polyamory. It is funny because I know a good group of people who, you know, identify with that sort of lifestyle, and I think it's very interesting.
Yeah.
And I have other people who are very against it, and other people who are.
I think it comes down to the fact that not everybody's cut out for it. Like, there's nothing that's great about it, or nothing that's bad about it. It's just like, you know, a way to be. But this girl clearly can't be polyamorous.
No, she's like, I was hoping it would never come up.
Yeah,
she was hoping that, like, yeah, polyamory, that's cool, as long as it never happens.
Yeah,
yeah, it sounds cool because you get to hook up with other people,
right?
But then you realize it's actually just other your loved one hooking up with other people.
There's also no playing it cool when you're already this anxious.
And it's also like, you're not I think the mentality of it is like, if somebody comes to you and they're like, okay, well, I said I was polyamorous, which is good, like,
yeah,
they were open
honest.
About it,
right.
And then they try to act on it, the other person feels like they don't have validation and their like attachment to that person because they feel like they have to, like, you know, appease that sort of thing. But it's like, you're not, she's, you know,
right. She's,
like,
not,
she's
being
not being
herself
true to
right
herself.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's totally cool. I love that. Cause I like you and you're polyamorous and so am I. And
right.
I'll find somebody, but then she's just going to be like sad by herself.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's not,
what if your wife broached that topic to you? Would you be like, hell no. Or
first would
you
of all,
be
it
like,
would come
that's
out of nowhere. Like, this one was at least set up.
Yeah.
But
sorry,
go
I just
ahead and answer
I just
want to
fuck your wife as
no,
well.
No, that's
Jesus
fine.
Jesus Christ, dude.
We can
sister.
Yeah, come on, man.
That's my twin
you know
talking
what?
About.
I'm going to tell our dad right now, and he's going to be pissed.
Oh, my God. My phone's ringing. I'm your father.
Shit.
This is amazing.
You're from Florida.
Yeah. Well, if my wife came in and did that, yeah, I'd be like, no.
Oh, instantly.
But that hadn't been previously discussed either.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying in general.
Just in case.
You wouldn't be down for that.
No, I don't think so. Because I think here's the thing. I think that there is a... the polyamory thing, I think sometimes you can put certain labels on things and it makes it sound maybe a little bit cooler than it actually is in practice.
Polyamory is a cool word.
It is super cool. I mean, and it's like, you can, you know exactly what it is right off the bat.
It sounds very progressive. It sounds open, loving, like I get to have a lot of threesomes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I know people who like say that they're polyamorous and they believe that they're like, they have so much love in them that it's so much that it can't be just simply for one person.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice sentiment. I don't really necessarily know how that works, but
right.
Maybe I'm just like barely amorous at all. So,
oh, you're non-amorous.
I'm non-amorous.
I have no amory.
Yeah, exactly. I'm amaryless.
I'm from Amarillo. So would you ever be down to be polyamorous?
I feel like polyamorous.
It sounds like it's right up your alley.
Yeah. I think the complex thing is just like sticking to your guns when you start to have feelings for someone. Because like polyamory, that's just, I feel like that's almost just like base level for me. Like, I want to fuck a bunch of people.
Sure.
So I
say, would you define that as amory or like just polylust?
Yeah, it's poly. That's what it is. It's polylust. Like, oh, wow. Yeah. Like, I won't settle down. Like, we'll be, we're sort of in a relationship, but we get to hook up with other people and that's all great.
Yeah.
But as soon as you start to really like somebody,
yeah, what do you do?
Or at least for me, as soon as I start to like really like somebody, I'm like, well, wait a second.
Yeah,
this is just between us.
Yeah, how do you?
This
how
is
does
a
that
real,
work?
Like, thing we got going, please, please stay. What are you doing, huh, darling? Yeah.
How do you get to like if once you start hooking up with somebody else, you don't you inherently like the original person less?
No, not necessarily. You don't like the original person less.
See, I don't. I feel like there's. Maybe I'm wrong, and I usually am, but I feel like actual polyamory, it would be like you're literally like in love with two people.
Right? Oh, like in love.
I think the way polyamory, like, yeah, it's not just being single. Polyamory is like it is a relationship between like multiple people, but those people are in a relationship. So it'd be like us three and our other roommate, Marty, right?
Yeah, that'd be
the
great.
The four of us are just fucking each other and we're all in a relationship. And that's pretty good because we can all like sort of
interchangeable equality.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the inherent problem with polyamory is like, what if one time I come home from work and you guys are all fucking? And it's just like, you guys just, you prefer fucking without me?
So it's or the selfish,
if another time you and I just want to go to a movie and you're left at home and it's like, well, wait a second, why don't you guys like me? It's almost worse because you ever get that feeling in your group of friends like no one's laughing at my jokes and everybody's laughing at another person's jokes?
Well, no, because everyone loves my jokes, but I can
actually, your jokes
going...
are often very racist.
This is a fucking intervention.
No, but you know that feeling of like not being worthy to other people.
Right.
It's like, imagine that being so heightened because the people that you think aren't interested in you are the people that are like your two boyfriends and girlfriends or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, it's a little scary.
So there's a difference between an open relationship and polyamory. Polyamory is like a group of three people constantly hanging out, and open relationship is like, oh, I'm hooking up with you, but I also have
a
side chick.
Yeah.
Open and relationship a main piece.
Yeah, there's a side chick, there's a main piece, there's a side dish, and there's a thigh piece.
Oh, what's that last one?
Yeah, a whole rap song.
Tell me about the thigh piece.
It's a Boston Market rap I've been working on, actually.
Yeah. And then there's mashed potatoes and corn.
It's so good.
Boston Market?
Dude, I love it.
Did they have that in Florida?
No, they got it in Burbank, though.
Really?
Yeah, it's really
the Florida of Los Angeles.
That's exactly what
it really is. Just really wide streets, strip malls, and Boston markets.
Yep.
Just rotisserie chickens.
Good gas stations.
Oh, great. Just clean shells.
Clean shells.
Just a nice shell.
Oh, I like a Chevron.
Yeah, you never...
Oh, a good Chevron is nice. Yeah, how about a Hess? You guys
I don't fuck with Hess, actually. Oh, okay. It's a little too East Coast for my taste.
You know what? That's fine, man.
Anything with Techron, a Chevron is good. 76
76.
Really?
Not
you have a loyalty.
I prefer a Chevron.
I prefer places that have had huge spills. So an Exxon Valdez.
You're a BP of yourself.
Yeah, I'd like to support them. Because
you like a jaded history.
Yeah, I like the tarnished past. I like the idea of when I'm filling up my tank to imagine a stork just covered in black thick gasoline.
Right. I was wondering because I saw the bumper sticker of just the
the stork.
Well, there's a dead stork mounted on your hood too.
Yeah, she's my emblem. She is the emblem of me. Yeah,
used to be an M for your Mazda, now it's a stork.
But why like if I had a lady friend and she went mini golfing with someone, I'd be like, that's okay. But why is it so much worse if she kisses somebody? Like, when you hug somebody, you have more physical contact than if you kiss. But why would it make me angry to see her kiss somebody? What is that about?
I mean...
where does that jealousy come from?
I believe that there is certainly more of an intimacy with the kissing than there would
definitely.
Be with a hug. You
think
hug
of how many people you would play mini golf with, and then how many people you would let inside of your body.
Right.
So...
Those numbers are probably, five less than one of those numbers.
Either way, I'm getting fucked.
If you love somebody and you can like comprehend like, okay, yeah, you can get dinner with somebody, you can play mini golf with somebody, but then they are saying like they want to be penetrated by somebody, you say, well, that's a very intimate thing that I thought you would only do with somebody you care about.
Yeah.
So you care about somebody else. I think the real question is, can you care about somebody else without diminishing the way you care for the person you already love? Like, could I love three people?
Yeah, I can't even like date overlapping. I have to like stop one and start the other.
Yeah.
Which is a little unique, I feel like.
The whole thing of polyamory is such a weird thing because it assumes like a very like cut and dried definition of love and then decides to multiply that. So I think you like have to like first agree sort of on what love is. And if love is simply wanting to like have sex with people, then like that's a very basic definition. And then you're not really talking about true polyamory. But if you're talking about like love in a much deeper sense, then love in a much deeper sense is when you don't necessarily feel that way you stick with that person anyway, and then, you know, get over that hump. At least that's how it feels, or that's what I read in the pamphlets.
Yeah, the polyamory
that I picked up.
When your wife took you to the
polyamory session. Yeah,
I said it before, I think, but polyamory is the worst of any of them.
Really?
Like monogamous relationship, then you've got one person's feelings that you have to consider and care about.
Yeah,
being single, I guess it's still one because it's like
yourself.
And I mean, you should always be nice to people. But polyamory, you're in like four relationships.
So you're saying you're like it's not carefree. It's like, if anything, it's more stress.
It's so much stress. Why on earth would I want to have three girlfriends who like could all get mad at me?
And they will.
And of course they will, because I'm not good when I have one.
And then they're going to start talking together, and then then
all of a sudden they're like, "Hey, we should invite a couple more guys into this tribe here."
Yeah,
and I'm like, whoa.
That's just polygamy, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's not even polygamy. There's
polygamy is like, yeah, polygamy is
marriage.
If it's a it's a guy married to like plural wives, very fucked up.
What about plural husbands? That's not polygamy.
I guess, well, I just don't know if that exists.
Well, why is polygamy bad and polyamory good if it's still, like, what?
Well, polygamy, I guess I'm thinking of, like, Mormons polygamy,
right,
where, like, they sort of, like, have arranged marriage, marriages arranged by the church, and women aren't allowed to have sex with multiple men.
Yeah.
So that's, like, all this, that's a whole different kind of fucked
sort of
up.
The inequality
right
type of thing. Okay.
But polyamory, I honestly don't know. Just in name alone, it's just like, it sounds nice because it's love for all. It's many
sounds
loves.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's such a nice sounding thing. But you know,
which one gets the threesomes? That's the question. Well,
that's probably
Ryan Gosling.
That's amazing. That's what I want to be.
That's a religion. Yeah.
I think I just want to be buff.
Yeah,
well,
that'd
he's
be
also
good.
Talented and handsome.
Yeah, but I really
so, like,
think
just
he's...
know that if you lifted weights for 3 years, you still wouldn't be as good as Gosling.
Yeah,
you no might be would. Strong.
It's crazy because it helps to get girls if you're strong. It also helps if you're hot, and it also helps if you're famous
and also talented.
And
let's
to,
not forget that he's a talented actor.
He's a talented. So to have all four means he could do whatever he wants.
He's
right?
The king. Yeah,
he just chooses what he wants. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if it's lonely at the top. If there's no sense
it's
of
not,
like accomplishment,
because he also has a good group of core friends. His boys from high school.
But like, what do you, if everyone's constantly throwing themselves at you?
You're true. Speaking on behalf of guys. No, don't worry about it.
I'm his best friend, dude. He'll never be lonely.
There's no like fist pumping. It's like, yeah, I hooked up with her. I hooked up with everybody. It's not good anymore.
No, I mean, he's probably just operating on a totally different caliber, you know, like
once
still,
you get, yeah.
I mean, just imagine the game he's playing.
What is the game the Gauze is playing?
It's the game the gods are playing.
Ryan Godling. That is who he is, and that is who True is.
He lives on Mount Olympus Drive.
Is that a drive pun?
No. Interesting. It was just a Topanga Canyon.
Yeah, there's a street Topanga called Mount Olympus Drive.
Cool.
Topanga Canyon is how Topanga Lawrence got her name back.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Named by Bill Lawrence.
Is that
creator of Scrubs? This is all true. And then he got terminated from Boy Meets World.
It's amazing.
And
he started Spin City.
Yep, named Spin City. And he was a showrunner at 20. I don't know. Who knows? Why are we talking
about?
Why
did he really?
That's
name
all
Topanga
100%.
No,
yeah, he
no.
named Topanga to
no.
after the Topanga Canyon. I swear to God, he told me.
Wait, is that true?
Yeah.
Are you saying that's true? True.
I'm 100%.
Wait,
yeah.
Bill Lawrence worked for Boy Meets World,
mm-hmm.
and named her after Topanga Canyon and his last name.
Oh, it is his last name. Yeah, it is. Yep.
What?
I just realized that. That is a realization. What? That's not something I put together.
I don't understand. I've never been this confused.
Well, sometimes I say truths like lies.
Yeah.
Just to throw
and vice
off.
Versa.
Yeah, exactly.
And especially because the fact that you didn't realize the Lawrence thing.
Exactly, which makes it seem like I totally made it up. But yeah,
and did
no.
you?
No, not at all. That'd be a weird thing to do. Just come on and make up the most obscure lies.
Was Boy Meets World even before Spin City?
Mm-hmm, it was. Yeah, at least it started before Spin City. I'm sure there was some overlap in the later years of Boy Meets World when there were
You're
no
a very good liar if you are lying.
I swear to God, I'm not lying. It's very true.
You're tickling my brain. Did we even answer this question? Should I act cool and give polyamory a try or
no?
Cut
you
and
should
run?
Not. I think we said that. Like, yeah. She's not being true to herself. You are a one woman.
I say she should try it.
No,
because the alternative is leaving. So you're gonna. It's like
it'll hurt less to break up with her girlfriend right now than it will to watch her girlfriend fuck a guy.
How is she trying polyamory if she stays with a girl who's polyamorous, but she's just not at the moment? Like, then she's just staying.
She's half polyamorous.
Yeah.
She's just amorous.
She's just like supportive.
She just has many loves for this one girl.
All for that one human. So cut and run, cut and run. Stick it out.
Awful.
Now terrible. Stick it out. Stick it out. All right. Next question. We need a guy's name.
That's you.
Oh.
It's the job of the guest.
I'll go with Peter.
How do you spell it, dude?
It's definitely P-I-T-E-A-R.
Peter.
P-I-T-A-R.
Right. A few weeks ago, I started high school, so I thought I would get this girl to date or at least become better friends. We've been friends for a few years, and I have liked her since we first met. Most of the time in class, she acts like she likes me. However, most of our friends are in other classes, and when we're all together, she basically ignores me. One of my friends decided to text her and tell her that I like her. Afterwards, she briefly texted about it, but didn't say too much. The next day at school, we were in the same classes and we sat together. Anyway, it was very awkward, but she acted as if nothing had happened. So when I got home, I decided to text her and ask her who she likes. She texted back saying she likes no one. I'm really confused. She has told me before that she doesn't want to date anyone right now, and I agree, but at least I want to know if she likes me for the future. Currently, I am a complete dating noob and have never even considered having a girlfriend until now. What do you think? Is there a chance that she's into me?
Whew.
Man, high school is hard, first of all, Peter, and I am so sorry.
Peter, yeah.
Imagine high school with texting now. We had AOL chat rooms. Were you all up on that?
Yeah, I got and then the instant messenger.
Oh, AIM was the shit. At fucking 3:30, you sign online, you see those doors opening.
Yep.
That was our club.
Late night AIM conversations did you have?
Oh, yeah.
I remember like 2 a.m. doing papers, like talking. There's like nobody else is online except for one person. You'd have like these really intense heart to hearts.
Yeah, that screen name that you really, really hoped would sign on. And when they do, it feels so fucking good.
Oh, man. And then you're just like waiting for them to IM you.
Oh, God.
Yeah, getting an IM. You don't want to be the first one.
Oh, God.
Do you remember the sound effect?
Yeah, the doors closing and opening.
Yeah, the closing was definitely very hard to hear.
What was your favorite away message?
I don't remember. I've gotten asked this before, and I really think I had some... I don't know. Because I know there's people who had like the different colors. They were
They got into it.
I think there's also BRB or something like that.
BRB is good, classic.
Yeah, you know, I try to keep it.
And then there's your profile. The profile is like.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You're thinking of profile.
Yeah. Did you have an away message that you used to use?
I liked using %N because it put that person's screen name in and it kind of fucks with them.
%T also did
the current time. So that was like a good look. So nowadays, kids are just all about that text. Instead of getting into a chat room. Kids these days, they don't know what they're missing. We used to text on a computer, and now you can text on a computer, but I guess it's slightly different because there's no chat rooms. Yeah. Actually, I guess it's not that different at all.
Hey, you can basically AIM
with a group text.
Yeah, as long as you just don't have that personal contact.
Have you ever had like a super intimate AIM conversation and then it's like the next day at school and you're like, oh, hey, that was me that opened up to you about having a crush on you and now...
Yep. Now we have a test.
You met your wife at age 14.
Yeah.
So like this led to actual marriage.
Yeah, that's how it usually works.
Did you guys flirt on AIM?
You like in ninth grade is your soulmate forever, I think.
Yeah, if you go back and you watch the great romantic films of the ages,
they all met at age 12. Whoever you had your like AIM profile quote about, that's who you marry.
Yeah.
You know that, right?
I feel like
percent
that.
And.
Can you imagine
really,
who...
Or the N, whatever it was.
Who the person you liked seeing sign online the most?
Yeah.
Could you imagine being married to that person right now?
I guess I'm still friends with her.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like how you're like,
mine's dead.
You killed her.
No.
Were you in a relationship instantly at age 14 or you met her at age 14?
No, we met at 14. Yeah.
And then did you have a crush on her?
Later on
crush. Mm-hmm. And then you dated in college?
High school and then in college.
Same college?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you didn't do the long distance for 4 years.
No, that'd be, no. Mm-hmm.
Coincidentally the same college, or you guys chose it because you were lovers?
Chose basically the same. Well, I think we'd both been planning to go to the same college.
Which is what?
The University of Florida, where...
Gators.
The Florida Gators, yes.
Yeah, dude. Do you know Joe Kim Noah?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know him, but he was at school when I was there.
Were you friends with Tim Tebow?
Oh, besties. Dude, I actually, no, not besties, but Tim Tebow, I could go on for a long time about him. I love him dearly. No, really? I don't know him, but I love him dearly. We graduated in the same ceremony, and they for some reason let him sit on stage, and they didn't let me sit on stage. Just whatever. I'm not bitter about it.
But no. Like,
you know,
Tim Tebow looks like kind of like you if you took steroids throughout University of Florida.
That, I'm not joking, dude. That might be the nicest thing anybody's ever said.
Including my wife's vows to me.
Yeah, no, that pales in comparison. What you just said, I'm etching that into my gravestone.
I look like a weak Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I'll take it. I look like the worst version of Tim Tebow.
Which is still hotter than 99% of Americans.
It's a Ryan Gosling almost.
So this high schooler, he's a little confused.
Well, let's clear it up. She doesn't like you, obviously.
You asked her point blank, which is a fun, exciting text to send.
Did he like ask anybody? Her point blank, though? Because he said, who do you like?
Who do you like? And that's as close as you can get.
Right.
Because it opens up the door to the buddy door.
I agree.
That noise.
I agree. I just feel like playing devil's advocate.
Sure.
Maybe.
Okay.
She, as a girl, doesn't want to be the first to say that she likes him.
Oh.
And he is yet to say, I like you. It's only been secondhand or
through a friend.
Yeah. Sort of an open door.
It still sounds like she's only nice to him in the one class where they don't have any other friends.
That's true. That's a definite problem.
And then like all the rest of the time, she ignores him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think like...
Yep, good point. No, I'm on board. Devil advocate has been shut down.
Oh no, poor guy.
The one glimmer of chance.
Dude like turned up the podcast when he started playing devil's advocate. There is hope. There is hope.
Yep.
I mean, shit. Yeah, I think if somebody doesn't say...
These are high schoolers in ninth grade, though. I'm going to throw that out there.
This is the beginning of what dating is now. It's like everyone is so polite that nobody's saying, like, I don't like you. Nobody's saying, like, no, I'm not going to. Like, she's saying, I don't like anybody. And she's hoping that he takes the hint. And, like, think about when somebody asks you out and you don't want to go. You don't say, no, I don't want to date you. You say, I can't this week. I'm busy next week. I'll let you know when it'll happen.
But I miss saying, like, who do you like? That's like a fun way of saying, who do you have a crush on?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's true. But I'm just saying, like, in the scope of, like, actual dating right now, a non-response is a no.
Right.
That just because of how nice and, like, non-confrontational we've become.
Right, how polite everybody is.
Yeah, which is not exactly what the younger generation is known for.
Right.
But it's weird how interpersonally they become very polite.
That's true. It's very, very passive.
Like not wanting to step on anybody's toes, but then they get on.
I don't want to make anybody feel awkward. I don't want to make somebody feel weird or sad.
No wonder mean internet comments exist. They're probably so pent up and like filled up with like actual emotions and like animosity that's the only area.
And they can't be mean to each other because everybody fucking knows each. Well, they are mean to each other, but that's the question. Like when you said, who do you like? It was like, it's me presuming that I know everybody that you know because everybody's just hanging out at school.
Right. You know 15 people. Who do you like of those 15?
And now somebody comes out from out of town and they visit. They say, are you dating anybody?
Right.
Like, who are you seeing? In the vast world of human beings.
Yeah. What's her deal? How do I know her? What high school does she go to? It's weird. People still ask me that about who I'm dating. And like I've only dated two high schoolers since I turned 30, so it's not even like a huge thing.
Good for you, man. That's great. Keep it under 5.
Well, one was a high school teacher.
Yeah.
And the other one was in sixth grade.
Yeah. So.
It evens out. The average is like just a normal 21-year-old person.
Exactly.
See, you are smart.
Yeah, that was not an accurate average.
Were you smart enough to know that?
30 plus 6, how old are you? 6 and 9, it would have been. Well, maybe
no, 30 plus 12, 18, that's 19. 21.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
You got it.
Thanks, dude. Man, I'm smart, and I look like a weak Tim Tebow, and this is going great.
So unfortunately for this guy, is there any chance that she's into me?
No.
I would say probably not, and I would say if you have doubts or you want to know, ask her or at least say you like her.
But he's like, do you like anybody? She says no. You want her to be like, do you like me? He's like, no, that was included in your question.
Two bullets, and now he wants to like just... point the barrel of the gun right against his head. Like,
you're right. I have no gentle...
It's so, like, the friend said, this guy likes you. If she liked you then something would have happened. And then you said, then you had the courage to say, who do you like? And she dodged you. Like, you were just asking for it.
Good point. You guys are right. You're right, guys. I feel like I'm the kid now.
What do you know? You've been in a loving relationship since you were in high school.
I'm an idiot.
Happily married for 8 years.
We're the ones that hate each other, ourselves and women.
You don't know how many. If you would have written into our podcast at age 19, we would have made fun of you. What are you doing? You're getting married like, at this early?
Yeah, I love this woman. I think I want to marry her. We'd be like, no, you're about to go to Florida.
You're a teenager, man. You don't get love. You don't know what true love is, and now you're still married.
But you guys are doing great. I mean,
no, I've got...
gonorrhea.
I have gonorrhea, and I have no dick.
Got the clap. Whatever.
I just have pubes. I just have pubic lice and no dick.
Yeah, you like never had to worry about STDs, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
You skipped a whole shit. You skipped text flirting. You skipped Tinder. You skipped any dating app.
Yeah, no.
Zero.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like...
I did on YouTube, I did a series on Tinder.
Yeah.
Where I had Tinder, and I literally, my bio was like, I'm doing this as a joke.
Yeah.
And I did like 4 or 5 episodes on my YouTube channel. And I would just get on there and I would not look at it and I would swipe right.
Oh my goodness.
On everything just to see what happened. And it literally the bio was like, don't take it seriously. And then it still got people. I mean, every now and then it'd be somebody's like, Ellie Morgan. And I'd be like, okay, well, just kidding.
That's a dangerous experiment. It's like, yeah. I basically just combed the world seeing who would fuck me and then saw what happened.
Or who just wasn't reading it too, who was just like blindly doing the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. And there's so much. That's a weird app.
It's basically, do you like me? It's do you like me, the app? Who do you like?
Based off of this.
Yeah, based on a 3-inch by 3-inch image.
It's all I could ever need.
That's all I need to know.
I do think there's something to that. I do think maybe that you really don't need
the gut
much
reaction,
more.
The split second decision.
The instant attraction of you blindly swiping right for 4.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Just what's it called when you fish, but with a net dragging across the ocean floor? Yeah.
Drag fishing.
Yeah. That's what it's called.
Drishing. Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back with a little bit more of Elliot Morgan and Jake.
Thanks.
And Amir.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's auraframes.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Hey, 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 we're back. Elliot.
Hey.
What are you busy with nowadays? What's your shit?
You know, funny you should ask, Amir.
I was just thinking about how if the plane that I was on from New York to LA crashed, I wouldn't really have any loose ends, and that's like, oh, that's a little sad way to live. So if your
you
plane
have
crashed,
any loose ends?
Yeah, I mean, like I feel like I could die and it would be like an all right ending. Like there's not like a there's not any pots on my fire that I have to tend to. Sure, people might be a little sad, but I feel like I've led a full life in these 32 point whatever years.
That
if you
does
died,
break my heart.
I think that's beautiful, dude. Good for you. Yeah.
Thanks, man. What do you have? What are you looking forward to?
Just in terms of death?
Is no. that in terms of staying alive. You want
to
stay alive?
What do you have to live for these days?
Yeah, exactly.
Not a lot. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, you
actually,
have a wife.
You just convinced me we should all die.
Yeah.
Well, you have a soulmate, so you'd be leaving someone behind.
I've been
behind.
Thinking about getting into drugs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, seeing Love how it. That goes.
Interesting. Have you ever bit. Done a... What's the hardest drug you've ever done?
I've done a smidge of the marijuana, but I'm not actually a big fan of it.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
So you're relatively clean.
I've heard good things about mushrooms.
Uh-huh. Zero. Alcohol you drink?
I drink far too much.
Oh, I see. So that's your poison.
That's the bad stuff.
That's
yeah.
your poison.
What's your favorite thing to drink?
Scotch.
Scotch.
Or whiskey in general. All
I'm,
the types
I'm a whiskey
of whiskey
guy too.
Yeah.
Do you like? I like bourbon.
I love bourbon as well. I go back and forth.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I kind of ebb and flow between bourbon and not Irish whiskey anymore because it's just too...
Back
too
and forth between
I,
bourbon and...
Yeah, I don't
and
drink Irish whiskey yeah. either.
It's like water
yeah.
at this point.
Do you think this is a funny joke? I actually go back and forth between bourbon and rehab.
Yes, for that.
That's
good.
Where,
yeah.
Just a funny little joke that I thought.
That's just a fun... It's very family yeah. friendly. Yeah. I'm doing... it's very family friendly. I do stand-up comedy a lot.
Whoa, where?
And I do kind of all over, but I just am about to go... doing actually more touring at the beginning of the year, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, and you're hitting the road.
What's hitting the
road. Like a real
your biggest
comedian.
City. Where do you think you would draw the biggest crowd?
I actually don't know. They're figuring that out as we speak. That was actually a conversation. They're trying to like scientifically deduce. It's so fascinating, man. Like I've never. Yeah.
You know how we figured it out?
How?
We look at our Facebook fans and yeah. by target, we are probably 2 to 3 times more popular in Canada than
wow.
any city in America.
Like
our biggest
big...
cities are Toronto, Vancouver, and yeah. then like New York, London, and Sydney.
One of mine was Toronto for sure.
Yeah,
and I was like, cool.
Yeah,
like, I had no idea. I never look at that stuff. And then they were like trying to figure out where to send me. And then the way it works basically is they're like, this is a long process. Like you have to go and you're going to start building up like local sort of recognition in these different comedy club venues or whatever, which
right.
is so cool. Like I'm
just like
so...
prove yourself that you can sell tickets.
Exactly. And then you do a little bit and a little bit more. It's
right.
so cool. And so, and then that is on the heels of my comedy special Premature, which comes out December 10th on Vimeo on demand.
Whoa.
That did you hear how smoothly that came out?
No,
very
perfect.
Smooth. So you're going to be on the road in early December?
It'll be early January, I think.
Oh, after that.
Yeah, I think.
Comedy clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And the special comes out December 10th.
The special comes out December 10th, and then kind of staying here and trying to do, you know, like podcasts and stuff.
Huh.
Yeah.
Look at us.
I don't know what that means.
This is like the online world is now like you don't do talk shows for movies. You do podcasts for internet specials.
Boom.
And we've all done stuff for YouTube instead of television.
Boom.
This is all it. This is the future because
really
kids
is.
Aren't watching TV anymore. Mm-hmm. They're downloading their
this
apps.
This is us failing in a meeting.
They're downloading their apps.
They're all snapping and chatting.
They're not buying their apps from the Walmart. They're
right
downloading them from the App Store.
Are you all up on Snapchat?
No. I was for a while and then I got off of it.
Couldn't handle
get back
it, right? I was like you. At first, it was very, I didn't quite understand. I felt like an old man at a kid's party. And now I'm more into it than like Facebook and Twitter.
I saw the goof filters that they did, sort of.
Yeah.
They started charging for the goof filters.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Charging for the goof filters?
Well, like, so they showed us all the filters, right? And now you can like, if you swipe far enough, it's like, oh, remember this old one? You can use it for 99 cents.
Wow. They give you the free... That's the drugs. They give you some free shit to get you hooked. Now I need the goof filters.
I'm pretty good without it.
I need the goof.
You know what? I think my Snapchat's stand on their own.
Yeah.
What's your Snapchat name? Or you don't use it really.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not entertaining at all. You know what? I will plug a friend of mine though.
Let's do it.
Steve Zaragoza has like the best Snapchat.
Really?
Yeah.
Steve Zaragoza?
Yeah, he's a fellow SourceFed guy from a while back. And he is brilliant on Snapchat.
I'm a mere bloom on Snapchat. You should follow me, dude.
Okay. I will.
I'm serious. Do it right now.
I see you looking
at
my pocket.
Jake Demand 85.
I feel like we didn't choose our names based on how popular we thought Snapchat was going to be.
You know
Jake
what?
Jake Demand 85.
Dude, mine was Elliot Sucks. Like just ELLIOTTSUCKS in case you're wondering. But yeah, it was that's how, because I started like way back when it first, I was like, nobody's going to use this thing.
Right. But now my Snapchat is more popular than my Instagram and my Twitter.
Amir Blumenfeld, was it taken?
No, I didn't even look. I just looked for Amir. And then BLOOM, and I'm like, oh, that's good enough. But everything else is very, very methodically chosen.
Everything else. It's kind of a weird. It's like kind of a break from. I think if you're an online personality, having a break from your brand is like a very important thing.
Well, it's not even a break now. It's the whole fucking thing.
Then you kind of restructure your entire brand around.
Somebody told me that like Snapchat's a life raft from the dying social media of old, Twitter and Facebook. Blow it up now before it's too late.
That's fucking all right,
wow, jeez, yeah. Taking that crap.
Well, nobody actually told me that. It was a wizard in a dream I had, and then I woke up.
What was his snap name?
Jake the Man 85.
I love it.
Was you with a long beard, if you can imagine.
That's hilarious.
So you're hitting the road in January. You have your stand-up special.
Stand-up special coming out. I'm very excited
December
10th. About it. Yeah,
that's
and it's
awesome.
It's sort of the comedy I've been working on for a few years while I've been doing other things like hosting for Mental Floss, and then I have a new show on SourceFed called The Study, where I play like this horrible human being named Elliot C. Morgan.
Oh, different guy.
Yeah, totally different guy.
The C stands for?
It changes every episode, but so far it's been like cocaine, crook.
Oh, and those are different versions of yourself.
Yeah, it's all just terrible, terrible stuff. He's
interesting.
Like he's like a one percenter, but like a one percenter of one percenters. And
the top of the top.
Yeah, I wanted
the creme de la creme.
The creme de la creme, yeah.
Which is another C word.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be the next episode.
You're just
Elliot
cream.
Creme de la creme, Morgan.
You're French. You're a French pastry chef.
Exactly. But yeah, sweet. That's it. And then mostly stand, and then this, and then I don't know what else is there. There's holidays.
Yeah. Oh
that's
yeah.
Exciting.
You want to plug just Hanukkah?
Yeah. Shout out to Hanukkah. Yeah. I gotta mention that.
Early December.
Learning a lot about that.
Yeah.
And it seems
oh,
really
you
cool.
Gotta.
Yeah.
Hanukkah's the life raft of Christmas that's slowly sinking. So you better start blowing it up now. It's the shape of a latke.
They're trying to kill Christmas. You know that.
This guy designed the new Starbucks
that are like those ankle-less socks.
Yeah.
No-shows.
How do you feel about them?
I dig them. I like them.
All right. Do you feel like they're socks? Do you feel like you're wearing, like your feet are like comfortable in them? They look so thin.
They're not. I mean, my feet aren't very, I don't notice them. Right. I just like the idea that when I wear my shoes, you can't see any sock.
Especially with these type, well, I don't know about the Crocs, but like the.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was supposed to.
The joggers.
The joggers and the Nikes. You can tell people that I'm wearing Crocs on the podcast.
I didn't want to, yeah.
You don't out me. But yeah, I wear Crocs in the house because of a chronic heel injury.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I do. I've got heel pain all the time.
No way, dude. I'm so sorry.
My heel a couple years ago and it never healed correctly.
You've probably told this story 1,000 times.
I don't know if I have ever on the podcast. Maybe I have.
How'd you break the heel?
I was rock climbing. In Angeles National Forest.
You just killed any chance of me ever rock climbing.
Oh, no, it's totally worthwhile. It's not dangerous. I did something really dumb.
Nah, I don't think so, man. Yeah, I think I'm out.
Yeah, shit.
First try the mushrooms. Trust me.
We can do them at the same time, man. That's how I hurt myself.
All right, we're running out of time, but great. I do want to get to one last question.
Let's do it.
Because we only have so much of Elliot Morgan in our lives.
Oh, isn't that true?
The wisdom.
Let's get one last dude's name.
Oh, is it still me?
It's all you. I already came up with Peter and Jessica.
I'm trying to think, like, what's, like, the coolest dude's name? Oh, you know what?
Come on,
I'll do it. Tanner.
Come on, Amir.
Tanner is
Tanner's
cool.
Yeah, that's a...
All right, Tanner. What about Tannist? Wouldn't that be cooler?
Like, he's the Tannist
that's good.
One?
Yeah, the Tannist. Because, like, Tan is a pretty cool name. Tanner, even cooler. But if your name is Tannist?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like Thoughts? Tanner.
Tanning, and he's just in the middle of tanning.
Oh, that's good. We don't have to decide what extreme yet. Tanner writes.
Oh, I just dropped your fur coat on the ground.
That's okay.
I don't want to reveal that you guys have a fur coat.
Yeah, Jake has to wear a fur coat for his heel that never actually
fur
fully
coat,
healed.
Fur coat, Crocs, nothing else.
Jake looks like a schizophrenic 91-year-old.
Honestly, since you guys started talking, I've been trying to come up with Tanning Chatham. I think that's what it is, right?
Yeah, you got it.
All right, great.
Tanning Chatham's really good.
Yeah.
Tanning Chatham.
Tanning Chatham's.
Whew, I'm sweating from
illegitimate
that.
Twin sister, Tanning Chatham, writes. Oh, no, this is a guy. Tanning Chatham, the guy, writes. Veering on the more mature side of your audience, I'm 32. I write to you about a conundrum I face
this
whenever.
Is a woman.
Is it?
Yeah.
So I was right. Tanning Chatham is Channing Tatum's illegitimate sister.
Right.
She's 32, and she has a conundrum she faces when she's dating. Through the ages of 18 through 25, I was vocal about my sexual desires, especially anal sex. This attracted perhaps one or two genuinely good relationships with amazing sex, but a whole string of assholes who immediately pegged me as a booty call material, which doesn't interest me at all. My conclusion was, men instantly associate a sexually liberated vocal female as a quick lay who doesn't respect herself and doesn't need respect. Growing up and beginning to abide by the mantra, you attract what you project, I've had to censor myself over the years, become more prim and even a little coy. This saw a change in the types of men who I attracted, decent, wholesome men who want a monogamous relationship and do respect me. The problem is this. These good boys are also good boys in bed. They're vanilla. There's nothing more frustrating than being in a long-term relationship with someone who dislikes anal. But this doesn't become clear for the first 2 months. You're still getting to know each other. By then, you either deal with it or break up. Quite a waste of time. A life without posterior delights is a dull life indeed. Having followed you from College Humor to your podcast, you two embody the ass dichotomy. One of you loves the ass. The other does not. What are some ways to spot an ass man without bringing it up before you start getting intimate? How can you tell if someone is sexually adventurous? Are there any telltale signs? Regards, Tanning Chatham. It's a very mature question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First of all, two things. One, I never said I disliked butts. I just said I've never had anal sex, and it's
a
little
dirty.
Do you want
to have anal sex?
I don't know if
you
I
said
wouldn't.
It was dirty. Yeah, that's why.
It. But I wouldn't. But she's saying that I'm not an ass man. I still like asses. I just think that anal sex is. I've never done it. If someone wanted to try it, perhaps I'd be into it. Number two, vanilla is the best flavor. So don't fucking call me. That's not an insult.
Sorry,
I happen to like vanilla.
It's funny that you defending yourself is like it proves her point. Like I never said I wasn't an ass man. I might try anal if somebody asked me to. I just find it dirty, and I love the flavor of vanilla. Like we know, we know you think it's the best flavor.
I'm just
buddy.
Saying vanilla gets a bad rap. What are your thoughts on vanilla v chocolate? Really quick before
that
we
is
get to
not
anal.
The question. She has a fucking
100% more vanilla than chocolate.
Okay,
but I'm not a chocolate person in general. It is chocolate's dark chocolate. We can go for now, but yeah,
you don't have to answer this question. But anal, yay or nay? Keep in mind, if you're not comfortable, we're not forcing you to answer.
I won't yay or nay because I don't think that it is a yay or nay.
Oh, it's a gray
thing. It's a gray.
A yay, gray, or nay.
I think that to speak to her, and I know she's not talking to me in this.
She had no idea you were going to be here, but she's about to benefit from your wisdom.
Tanning, I'm Elliot. It's nice to meet you. And, you know, I would be described as one of the vanilla gentlemen. I grew up in a very conservative environment in Florida, and therefore the prospect of sexual liberation in males and females is certainly something that is a process. But in my humble opinion, I think that it's very important to broach the subject as you get to know somebody, not in a way that you try to, or not to try to label them from the outside, because you really don't know. And I would also argue that some of these men who might be considered vanilla maybe are simply having hangups of their own, and therefore that requires simply more open conversations would be my idea.
But
or that's all theoretical. Who knows?
And I'll say, I have your personal email and I'll fuck you in the ass. If
silence or
for a moment, it looked like he was making eye contact with me though. And I was like, you're right. You do. You do, Jake.
For the record, I will fuck you in the ass, Elliot.
That's not even what she's asking for.
Bad advice and get in the bed.
I just wanted to... Yours was so thoughtful, I wanted to...
Please, yeah,
to
no, you gotta
it.
Bring it back.
I think it's a good point that the people she's complaining about being vanilla, they may also have desires to fuck her in the ass, right, or like to play with her butt.
Like, and it could be a me situation.
Well, like it could be even, mm-hmm, it could be a me situation. They could be dying to touch her butthole and they're like, she's so prim and proper, she doesn't want me to touch her butthole.
But wouldn't that come up in the first couple sexual encounters? Don't people understand?
No, I've definitely had sex where I wanted to touch a butthole and I didn't because I wanted to like...
But 2 months feels like a long time to get through before even broaching the butt subject.
It is puts her in a tough situation to have to sort of like be the person who is like the guide.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
seems very like, puts even more pressure on her. But I feel like, you know, if she's wanting both things and she's wanting like a lasting committed relationship with like a good dude who's going to view her with respect, then it might, you know, depending on that dude's psychological makeup, it might require, I don't know, maybe not though.
Is she stereotyping? Is it really that cut and dry that like mean guys like anal and prim proper nerds that might be good marriage material don't?
No,
or can you find both?
Well, she's definitely considering like anal sex like kind of a deviant sexual behavior, which I don't think it is. But there is something.
But
that's all I could think about. But.
Ask yourself this.
I do think that the way to do it, if she wants to talk about this type of thing with people, is to like ask what their fetishes are and stuff, because once people share their fetishes, they're a lot more open to hearing about it. It's a nice way, like, because it's kind of weird to be like, can I tell you what I like when you,
yeah, this is the beginning of date too.
It's like, hey, what do you like in bed? It's like probably after you've gotten to know somebody and you've like been intimate with them.
It's a communication thing more so than like, I think what
right
ultimately boils down to is communication, which I think means that she will not be able to ever look upon another person and know based on their like,
what if, yeah, like you can't necessarily know if the person's an ass man though. But like,
I could assume you guys could have switched that around and I would have had no idea.
Oh really?
Because it's,
you don't
a
know
preference
yet.
What I if mean, but like, it's when you're hooking up with somebody, what's the first part of their body that you grab?
I guess their boobs.
And I'm the ass.
No, I do ankles. Is that weird? Is that a
well, you're like a bully. Beautiful. You're a schoolyard bully that's shaking your mate upside down until coins fall out.
Is that not what sex is?
No, that's actually, you're stealing somebody's milk money in a cartoon.
That's what I've been doing?
Yeah, you've been in a cartoon.
You've been a cartoon bully.
I got to send some texts.
What about sticking, this is going to sound stupid, it's going to sound like a joke, but what if she sticks a cucumber in her ass? What if she sticks a cucumber in her ass?
Are you just asking in sort of an ethereal
what
way?
Would happen?
Hey guys, what if like, this is gonna sound like a joke and it's gonna sound like I'm not being serious, but what if on a first or a second date she leans over, spreads her asshole open, and she shoves a cucumber or a dill or a pickle in her ass?
Jesus Christ.
This is gonna sound like I'm making something up or I'm not trying to answer the question.
You're for sure making something up.
No, it's gonna sound completely untrue and like I'm not even
you're asking a hypothetical question. What if during the date, and I'll try to take this seriously. What if during the date, so say they're out at a restaurant.
Or a cafe.
Or a cafe.
Cucumbers. It'll probably be a restaurant.
Yeah.
So then she might have brought it on her own.
She can bring the cuke,
So she'll stand up.
She'll stand up,
and bend over at the table.
That's right.
And stick a cucumber.
In her asshole.
I couldn't advise that.
That would be the most psychopathic thing somebody could do. That would be,
she would be carted away to a mental hospital for doing that.
Right.
It's lewd, indecent, illegal behavior.
Okay.
Yeah, it's public indecency.
Okay. So what were you saying?
I was telling you how bad of a suggestion it was.
No, before I even weighed in. What was your suggestion? What is she supposed to shove up there?
Nothing.
Got it.
Just communicate and just like, you know, hook up with people. If they're grabbing your butt, then they might be a butt man.
I'd say you can bring it up
a butt
little
grabber.
You might be a little early. You might be able to bring it up a little earlier than 2 months in.
I think you could definitely bring it up earlier than 2 months in
during a sexual thing, however long that takes.
And if it's 2.5 months, that's okay too. If it's 3 months, that's okay.
Yeah, let's cut
three and a half
three,
months
though.
You gotta go.
Bye bye butthole.
I wonder, like, what if just during sex for the first time you just tell them her problem is that she thinks when she asks for butt stuff early on, that then guys consider her a floozy in marriage material.
It labels them in a certain way. But that's also, I mean, I feel like there's ways to convey sort of that she's not that.
Right. I think she's 32 now. By the time we like are I can't really connect with like the 20-year-old version of myself, but I think at least now that I'm 30, if somebody asks for something in their butt, I don't think they're a whore.
Right, especially if there's already like, I don't know.
Cucumber
in there. Right, I was going to say cucumber in there.
Leave that.
I'm going to.
You're near, your knees are touching your ears. You are trying to stick a pickle in your ass right now.
That was actually a cuke. The thing is my colon is filled with brine.
Right, okay.
Anyway,
that's a great term.
So,
puke makes you puke.
I think.
I don't really have any advice for her. I wish her the best of luck.
Yeah, highly communicative. That's what you got to be.
Yeah, but that she is. But I think it can come a little earlier than the 2 month mark.
Sure,
with or without vegetables in your ass. I know Jake suggests one way, and I'm another. But
you guys complimented.
I already really forget who suggested what at this point.
You suggested her publicly fucking herself. With a vegetable.
Jake and I suggested talking a lot.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I guess two different paths. To each your own.
No, you were right. That's exactly the way it went down.
Elliot, thanks for coming by.
Guys, thank you so much. This is awesome.
Dude, I'd love to open for you when you're on the road.
Oh, yeah. That's how it'll work for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, you're going to get rejected, so let's do it not on mic.
We should mention that we're going on the road, too. On December 2nd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, we're going to be in San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Vancouver. Tickets are still available
come through
at ifiwereyoushow.com. Anything you want to plug one last time?
ElliotMorganSpecial.com.
Oh, that's the URL?
Yep.
ElliotMorganSpecial.com.
Trailer dropping soon. Website should be live by the time this goes up. It'll be good.
Hell yeah,
that's it.
Dude.
Dope.
Let us know because I want to watch it now.
It'll be good.
The opening theme song was written by a fan. The closing one, also written by a fan. Oh. If you have any theme songs of your own, or questions for us, the email address for everything is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Thank you, Morneal, for writing the opening one. And this closing one is written by Dylan Barstow. Thanks again to Elliot for coming by.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. We'll be back next week. Bye.
I'll take just a minute, lend me your ear. I got a song about my friend Jake and Amir. The two dudes will stay true, stay sincere. Keep it real by handling each of your fears. Oh, Jake's just a Jew, you'll meet in a pinch. If you're working on your texting game or dealing with a bitch, he's got the kind of rhythm that makes the man cringe. But I'm Jack, the perfect person with the delicate syringe. And Amir, to you, I can really relate, cause I don't speak game or like your buddy Jake. And I keep a straight lace, even when I'm on a date. I use statistics to analyze this fate. So all you fools out there who aren't feeling dope, if you've had less sex than the Catholic Pope, we'll look no further, only one place left to go. Just stick around for me if I were you, show.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit hyland.com.